You meet a lot of people along the way. When I was in my cancer, a man gave me a stone, not a stone, it was a cross that to put in your pocket so you could feel it and know God's with you all the time. A lot of times people, even adults, they're always wanting to know, well, what'd she think about that? What's he think about that? But the hope is in our Lord. It's not in other people and other things. My name's Sherry Wakelin. I work with the third grade girls right now at Crossroads 9 o'clock. And when I have to tell this story, when I had two hairs when I had my cancer, and I thought that was kind of like the Lord saying, it's gonna be okay, Sherry, it'll come back, but it was cold like it is right now, and someone was fortunate to provide a wig for me, and I wore it, and I walked in, and that windy day we had, I thought, oh no, what if it comes off? What if the girls see me without my hair? But you know what? God doesn't look on the outside. He looks at the inside. And he loves us so dearly. And I do have my hair back. It might not be the best, but God provided each hair that he provided, just like he counts every hair of your head. And he knows every single part of yourself. I know that only through the Lord are we able to do anything. And sometimes our path isn't the way that we expect it. I've had a lot of crooked ways in which he's taken me, but I look back and I think along the way, you know what? You knew the plan all along, and you had a plan for me, and I might not have done it perfectly, but I try. We weren't fortunate to have kids, but I feel like each day I'm able to work with children and have children in my life, and I hope that they can be the very best person after God's heart and follow after God's heart and be able to reach more people for Jesus. And if you aren't praying for your young people, please do. If you aren't mentioning them by name, please do, because he's got a plan, and their hearts are ripe and willing to serve him. One time when I was shopping this, one of my little girl's mom was at the same store, and she goes, oh, Mrs. Wakelin, or Miss Sherry, I'll help you with that. And at that time, chicken noodle soup seemed to be the only thing I could keep down. And so they had it on sale, and I bought a few cans, and she said, well, let me help you put that in your car. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. You've provided another person, you know, that I wouldn't have, I had never seen them at that store before, but they just happened along the way. And don't ever lose hope. God's there for you. He's always there for you. He created you, and he knows your innermost parts. And we have that hope. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to ever let us down. He's in our corner, or it's a bigger than a corner, but he's in there for us even in the worst of times and in the best of times. And I thank the Lord for that.
Good morning. My name is Jason McDowell, and I'm the family lead, ministry lead here at Crossroads. And I want to have some fun with all of you because I realize we have kids in the room. And so I did something very unique this morning. I actually saved three of my Christmas presents to open in front of you today. Kids, did any of you save your gifts to open at a later date? I doubt it. So I'm really excited because the person who gave these to me is an excellent gift giver. Just amazing. So I have no idea what I'm going to pull out, but let's see. All right, gift number one. These are some nice measuring spoons. It's kind of great. It's fun this year. Let's see what else is in here. They are a good gift giver, so I have not lost hope. Oh, this is big. What is that? I've got a measuring, like a bowl, like a mixing bowl here. It's not really what I was anticipating. Oh, the last gift. This person's so hilarious. Okay, they saved the best for last. They put it in a totally separate bag, and so I'm pretty sure that these other gifts were just, you know, for a laugh from my friends. So this is really the one that I'm excited about. I'm hoping for a Nintendo Switch 2 or maybe some season tickets to Holiday World in this bag. What do we got here? What is this? An apron? I have to be honest with you, I'm so disappointed right now. I was expecting something so much better. Sometimes our life gets like that. We get disappointed because we look at the gifts that we have or the talents that we have or the relationships that we have, maybe the resources we have, and we compare ourselves with other people. And we don't have the things that other people have. And it's very disappointing because we just think about the things that we're missing in life. And I want to take a few minutes to share the story of someone in the Bible who really had been given every reason to be disappointed, to feel hurt, to feel lonely, to feel angry with God, somebody who has every reason to lose hope. In fact, her life is a recipe for disappointment. I'm going to need some help from some of you kids to look at some slides on the screen and tell me some numbers in just a moment, but I want to read some verses very quickly to you. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37, here's what the Bible says about a woman named Anna. It says, there was also a prophet, that's somebody who shares messages from God, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. Kids, I want you to look up on the screen. There's going to be a number in just a moment that appears, I believe. Anna is how many years old? 84 years old? Do you think that's old? Okay, I want you to look around. How many of you in our family here today are in your 80s? Can you lift your hand? Look around. Is being 80 years old, is that easy if you're in your 80s? Is that easy? Probably not, right? We need to be aware so that we can love each other well. Anna, she's a widow. That means she's lived alone for, can you see this next number? For over how many years? 60 years. How many of you in this room are living alone currently? How many of you are living alone? Can you be brave enough to lift up your hand? Look around. We have a lot of people here in our family who are living alone. You think that's easy to be living alone? It's not, right? But we need to be aware, okay? Another thing about her living alone, it's very possible that her husband died fighting in a war against Rome, trying to protect the temple in Jerusalem. How many of you have lost someone that you love, right? Many of us, right? Is that easy? It's not. These are many reasons why we could be very disappointed in life. How many kids does Anna have? Can you read this up here? What number is that, kids?
Zero.
Right. How many of you in the room, maybe you've really wanted kids, but that hasn't been a part of your life story yet. Okay? It can be hard to be in these situations, right? And Anna, she's in some very difficult situations, but even though she has a lot of reasons to be disappointed, discouraged, and depressed, in this story, we're going to find out that she's not. In fact, she's full of hope. She enjoys her life. I'm going to invite Daniel once again to come up and do a memory verse challenge with us to give us some insights, some clues as to why she might still have hope in her life.
Alrighty, everybody. So as Jason said, we have a memory verse challenge for you all. So as you can see, it is the Christ Moss memory verse challenge. So let's go ahead and put the memory verse up on the screen. So let's go ahead. Let's read it together on the count of three, okay? One, two, three. It says, she never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She gave thanks to God and spoke about Jesus. All right, I want to read it one more time because I'm about to take some words off of the screen, okay? So on the count of three, all right? One, two, three. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She gave thanks to God and spoke about Jesus. And that comes from Luke 2, 37 through 38. Alrighty, so you guys see it? You got it locked in, right? Got it locked in your memory? All right, let's go ahead and take some words away. Wow, that's a lot of words taken away. But that's okay because we read through it twice, so I know that you guys all have it locked in, all right? So what is the first word? Wait, say that again? No, I think you guys are wrong. The first word is she. So what's the first blank? I should have clarified that. I am so sorry. So what is the first blank? That's right. She never left the what? She never left. Ooh, temple. I think I heard the word temple. Is it temple? Ooh, good job, guys. All right, so she never left the temple. But what? What did she do? Worshipped. Let's see. She never left the temple, but she worshipped. She worshipped night and day? All right. She worshipped night and day. What was she doing though? I forget what she was doing. So I think we're saying fasting as the first one. Ooh, okay, so she worshiped night and day, fasting, and what was that second word? Praying, that's right. So she never left the temple, but she worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. So after that, she what? She gave, what are we thinking? She what? I think I heard, okay, what do we think it is? She gave what? Gave thanks. Good job, guys. So she gave thanks to who? To her mom, to her dad, maybe her grandparents, her best friend. To God. So she gave thanks to God. And it was what? To God and what else? She what? I can't hear y'all. Spoke. Is it spoke? She spoke about Jesus. All right, guys. So let's read this one more time together, okay? Let's read this one more time together. So one, two, three. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. She gave thanks to God and spoke about Jesus. Luke 2, 37 through 38. Good job, guys. Man, you guys have really good memory. You guys did that so well. I'm going to go ahead and invite Jason back up on the stage. Great job, everybody. I can tell you guys are going to keep that one locked in your memory for a long time.
I'm impressed. I wrote the verse down, and it was hard for me to remember some of the blanks. So good job, everybody out there. Wonderful job. I want to give you a statement, and I want you to repeat the last part of it with me in a minute. In a world filled with disappointment, here's the part we're going to say again. Hope finds a recipe for delight. Can you say that last part with me? Hope finds a recipe for delight. Delight, it's like being able to enjoy your life. How many of you want to be able to enjoy life, right? That's kind of what delight is. In the Bible, people's names usually tell us something about who they are as a person. How many of you know what your name means? Did you know that your name has a meaning? Yeah. Lots of you? Not too many. Maybe that's a project to figure out what your names do mean. My oldest daughter, Her name means joyful friend. And if you get to know her over time, you'll realize that's exactly who she is. She's a very joyful person and she's a good friend. And I believe that these names in Anna's story are meant to tell us something about her. First of all, her name is Anna. Anna means kindness. Anna's dad's name is Turns to God. And I think Anna might have seen her dad turn to God instead of pulling away from God in some difficult times that he faced. Also, their tribe, Asher, it means living the good life. And so I think those names are meant to tell us something about how she responds to her disappointments and her difficult times in life. She could have taken her hurts out on other people and given up on God and complained about her problems. But instead, I actually believe that Anna shows kindness and she turns to God. And she actually believes, even though life is hard, that she does have a good life. Do you want to experience hope? You want to enjoy your life? Show kindness. Turn to God instead of pulling away and believe that you do have a good life. Luke 2:37, it goes on and it says this. She never left the temple, right? You remember that because you just filled in the blanks. She never left. And here that word left, it means to withdraw or to kind of isolate yourself. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But it says she worshiped. And this word worship is actually a very unique word too. It means to help in small ways. Kids, how many of you help around the house in small ways? Maybe you take out the trash, your parents have you wash the dishes or pick up your room. That's helping in small ways, and that's what Anna is doing at the temple. It says she did this night and day, fasting and praying. Let me tell you something. If Anna's husband really did die protecting the temple years earlier, going to the temple to worship might have triggered some really painful memories and difficult times. I came across a tool called reframing that one of my new teammates here, Ashley Elliott, and her husband wrote about in their book on navigating loss. It's titled, I Used to Be. And reframing means that instead of only thinking about the bad or painful things that happen in a certain place, we also think about the good things that happen there and how that place can help us and teach us more about who we are. And I think Anna came to realize that the temple did this for her, going to worship. She could have focused on the hurt that she experienced and that her husband experienced and tried to avoid the temple. But instead, she kind of reframed it. She looked at it differently by thinking about how the temple could help her connect with God and with other people and experience delight and enjoy her life. And as a result, here's what Anna does. She stays involved with God's people. That's what that verse that you memorized says. She helps in small ways. That's how she worships. And she participates with the whole community in prayer and fasting. Do you want to experience hope and enjoy your life? Staying involved with God's people is a part of that. Helping in small ways, even here at Crossroads, is a part of that. Participating with your community of believers, of Jesus followers, in prayer and fasting can be a part of that. Really quickly, what is prayer and fasting? Prayer is kind of like talking to God, right? Kids, it means we're having a conversation with God. But fasting, it's choosing to give up something that we really enjoy. It might be a meal, it might be a specific kind of food, it might be something that makes our life easier or more convenient, it might be an activity we enjoy, or a form of technology that we get really, really used to. Giving that up for a day or even a season so we can give God our full attention, at least for a period of time. And Anna and her friends, they would have prayed, not just alone like we do lots, but would have prayed together every single day at different times of the day. And they would have fasted, given up certain things at least 2 days a week together every single week. And we're going to be exploring this as a church family over the next few weeks in January. There's going to be an upcoming sermon series titled 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. And you'll actually have an invitation to come and join us here in the mornings at Crossroads if you'd like to practice these spiritual habits. Luke 2:38, it's the last verse we're going to read in Luke this morning. It says, coming up to them at that very moment. So Anna's walking up, but who's she walking up to? Well, who's this story, this bigger story about? Who are we learning about this Christmas? We're learning about Christ, right? About Jesus. And so she's coming up to Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus when they brought him to the temple to dedicate him. It says she gave thanks to God and she spoke about this child to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption, to the rescue of the city of Jerusalem. So she wants everybody around to connect this baby with the promise God made a long time ago, 700 years before she ever lived. That promise with this baby called Jesus. Here's the promise. Do you want to listen to it? It's in Isaiah 61, and we're putting it up on the screen as well. It says, "The Lord has chosen me," wonder who that me is, "to comfort all who cry, to provide for those who are grieving in the city of Jerusalem, to place on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes." People would cover themselves with ashes from like a fire that cooled off ashes when they were sad. "The oil of joy instead of mourning and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of hopelessness." Kids, who do you think God was going to send to bring comfort and joy to sad people in Jerusalem? Who do you think that is? Who did God send at Christmas? Jesus, that's right. Anna believes that Jesus has arrived to heal her broken heart and also her city, because her city has a lot of people in it that also have broken hearts. If we want to experience hope and enjoy life, part of that is believing that Jesus has arrived for us to help heal our broken hearts and our city. So Anna, even though she faces some difficult circumstances and experiences in her life, she also experiences hope, and she enjoys her life. I want to say this one more time and have you repeat this. In a world filled with disappointment, hope finds a recipe for delight. Can you repeat that last part with me? Hope finds a recipe for delight. You know, actually, I bet I could find something good to do with my gifts. They were kind of disappointing. Measuring cups, a mixing bowl, and an apron. Not what I was hoping for this Christmas. But you know, my family has a special recipe for a holiday treat. And I bet I could take these and turn something that was a disappointment into something that actually will bring me joy this Christmas season. Think I could maybe do that? And I bet we can find ways to take the difficult, disappointing, even devastating circumstances that we are facing, turn some of those things into some delightful experiences as we serve, as we're involved as well. Here's some ways that we can experience more hope in our lives in the new year. Here's some ideas, okay? First of all, try to be with God. Maybe you're young here and you don't know how that happens, or maybe you're an infant and you don't even know what I'm saying right now, but your parents or your grandparents are listening. What does that look like, grown-ups? Maybe helping our kids with that. Maybe it looks like praying over an infant. Maybe it looks like reading a children's Bible school story to a preschool student or early elementary child or a grandchild. Maybe it looks like praying with one of our middle schoolers. Maybe it looks like discussing a paragraph in the Bible with a teenager or posing a spiritual question at the dinner table or listening to a Bible-related podcast or some worship on a Spotify channel. Maybe it's praying out loud in the car when no one else is with us, or maybe it's taking a prayer walk or just sitting in stillness in a quiet place, as impossible as a parent as that might be for you to most times find. Maybe it looks like being with God's people. We want to invite you right after this service, even if you didn't know this was happening today, to join us, to be with us and share a taco meal from Qdoba in the church gym. We'd love to have you join us and just, again, experience this family and this supportive community. Maybe it's listing some of the good things that you've been given and giving thanks, even though there's a long list of difficulties. Or maybe it's identifying one small way that you can help at Crossroads in 2026. Our Church Center app is an excellent tool for you to find different ways to serve. We have so many ways that you can plug in here at Crossroads. We even have a current need in our middle school ministry. If you want to grab the bull by the horns and sponsor a small group of middle school students on Sunday afternoons, we can use you, and I guarantee you, whatever it is, whatever area you want to serve in,
we can help equip you with the tools that you need to be able to love people here in this community. Maybe it's participating in the 21 days of prayer and fasting together. Your bulletin has more information about that. It's going to be 6:30 to 7, Monday through Friday, from January 5th through 30th here at Crossroads. Maybe it's just believing that Jesus is capable of healing your broken heart and your city as you trust and as you follow him. You know, when God came down in the person of Jesus, he shared in our pain. The Bible tells us that his body was broken and his life was poured out in death for our sins. In a minute, we're going to take a moment and reflect on that by eating the bread and drinking the juice that you received on the way in. We had the prepackaged Lord's Supper elements. And so if you still need that, I believe we have some that are available in the aisles. So just slip up your hand and we'll put one into your hand in just a moment. Jesus faced many, many hardships, but the disappointments were far outweighed by the hope, the delight of what those things were accomplishing. It was a way for us to experience life with God and with each other forever and ever through faith in him. And so let's take these elements, the bread and the juice, take them together and remember Jesus this morning.